This is News and Notes. I'm Farai Chidea. The number of African Americans joining or re-enlisting in the military has plunged by more than a third since the war in Afghanistan began. Now recruiters are trying extra hard to market the military not only to African Americans, but their families. The sell didn't used to be so hard. Countless African Americans once depended on the military for good, solid jobs and to pay their way through college. Now many black parents are warning their kids against trading college for combat. But are they missing out by staying out? For more, we hear again from retired Navy diving officer Gregory Black. He runs blackmilitaryworld.com, an online source for news and information about African Americans in the military. We've also got Colonel Rick Mills, and he oversees Chicago Public Schools Military Academies and Junior ROTC, and Jarvis Reeves. He joined the Air Force shortly after high school to get out of his neighborhood and, like many, to earn money for college. He's now a civilian. Welcome, folks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, Mr. Black, let's start with you. And you were just talking about the ways in which African-American families and troops may have questions about the war. Let's actually move back a little bit in time. There used to be fewer options in the private sector for African-Americans. How much did that influence how many people from the black community actually went into the military?
Well, I think it had a tremendous influence on the number of African-Americans that went into the military. Particularly if you look at the period between World War II and Vietnam, it was very difficult for African-American males to find careers and opportunities outside the military. This was a very tough time, particularly during Vietnam. And as a result of that, a lot of African-Americans used the military to better themselves, and because it had a tremendous amount of opportunities as far as education and economics, that it was just too appealing. And, you know, the vast majority, I would say at that time, prior to the war in Iraq, we were looking at about 25% of the military was made up of African Americans.
Now, when you think about your own experience, how much did the desire to serve for patriotic reasons or national reasons come into the decision? How much did these practical issues of your career path come into your own personal decision?
Well, I think, to be honest about it, and I think this is true, honestly true, of about 95% of the African-Americans that go into the military, we generally join the military out of reasons of personal growth and education, economic, and some of these reasons as opposed to patriotism. It's not that we're not a patriotic people. It's just that we have a greater need for opportunity, which is the reason why most of us seek a military career, because I personally joined the military in 1979 after Vietnam because, for that very reason, I was looking for to continue my education. I was looking to travel, and the military was very, looked like a great opportunity for me, and I did. My brother did, uncles, father, a lot of members of my families did the same thing because there wasn't a lot of opportunity in the hometown where we grew up.
I see Jarvis nodding. He's here with me in our studios at NPR West. What's your own path? Why did you make the choice to go into the military?
Well, my choice was mainly because I wanted to get out of the neighborhood. I was extremely unfocused when I came out of high school.
Where were you living?
I was living in L.A., which is now considered South Central L.A., which I find quite amusing. Anyway, I was in L.A. There's cocaine had hit the neighborhoods quite hard back in 1983 when I graduated. And then furthermore, I was very unfocused. I had been accepted to a college, Humboldt University, but I had no idea what I was going to do. And the military gave me an opportunity to still make something of myself while I was deciding, finding myself. You hear a lot of people saying they're going to go to Europe to find themselves. Well, I did it in the military. That was my main focus for going in. I found a lot more once I got there.
Colonel Mills, I want to play you a little bit of an interview that we did with Private First Class Alexa Kane. She joined largely for educational reasons, and when we spoke, she had just returned from Iraq, where she worked in a hospital and a morgue. So why specifically did you enlist?
Honestly, to pay my loans. You know, to pay the student loans and the curiosity. My mother was enlisted. My father was enlisted as well. So, you know, just to see the world, just to see, you know, what the world actually had to offer before just saying, I'll just try a civilian job.
So Alexia's story, does that disturb you. Maybe that's the wrong word, Colonel, but are you actually disturbed that people have these just very practical reasons, or is that okay for you as someone who deals with trying to bring young people into the military?
Well, first of all, we're not focused in our program in Chicago on recruiting for the military. We're trying to use the military model to further the success of our graduating students, and hopefully that success would be achieved through post-secondary education. Alexis' statement doesn't bother me in the least because many people have their own reasons for looking at the military as a potential career or just as an opportunity to take advantage of educational opportunities.
So you are training young people in military discipline. Give me a very practical sense. I mean, you're overseeing different programs, but give me a very practical sense of, say, a 16-year-old in high school, junior ROTC, what their day might be like.
Well, are we talking about junior ROTC in a high school or at a military academy?
Either one. How about a military academy?
Well, obviously, in a military academy, the military concept and model is embedded throughout the entire curriculum and the school day. Our students come in early in the morning. They have an inspection first thing in the morning. They do drill ceremonies. They do drill practice. They have staff meetings. So their day gets off to an early start. And, of course, they wear a uniform on a daily basis, and they practice the customs and courtesies of the military model. And, of course, after school, we have a myriad of activities that are a part of JRTC in the military academies, which are great after-school programs and competitive and non-competitive opportunities for our students to take advantage of.
So I want to actually ask you about something that is going on. There is a Congressional Black Caucus Legislative Conference coming up. I wonder if there will be any kind of action on the congressional level that might trickle down to you about how much African Americans are going to continue our service in the military.
Well, in our program, our cadets, our enrollment of our cadets in our program across the city is reflective of the overall demographics of Chicago public schools. So we don't see any kind of a difference there in the percentage of African Americans and Hispanic students taking place in the part in the program, vice the rest of the demographics. So I really don't see that per se as any kind of an issue in the program because it's reflective of the demographics of Chicago public schools.
Jarvis, let me come back to you. Did you, when you talked to people who you were enlisted with, did you have these conversations about leadership, about what you were getting out of military service? That's so much of what the colonel was talking about, building a model for understanding how a military education might influence yourself. You mentioned you wanted to get out of your neighborhood. Did it change you fundamentally as a person?
It most definitely did. I didn't know what being an American was until I joined the military. And I often see young people today who are unfocused and seem to be lost. And I find that the military model is an excellent place to go. When I was in, and this may offend some, but when I was in, my reasons for getting out of the service is because I believed it bred mediocrity. It's not true today. That was different. It's different today than when I was in. Today, I've taken classes and noticed a lot of military members who are in online classes. One of them even told me he can't put on his next stripe until he gets a certain degree, which I find fantastic because as anybody, and it's not just African Americans, when we come out of the service, a lot of times we have a skill set that is not it's not applicable to the civilian world. And having a degree would help a whole lot. I came out as a weapons troop. I can work on F-16s. I can blow up a lot of things. Doesn't do a lot for the civilian world. I have electrical background, but without that degree, it really didn't mean a whole lot. So my experience is a lot different than today. But as far as leadership and understanding what it is to be an American, my patriotic sense did not come until I joined the military, left this country, was stationed in Korea, and somebody thanked me for the Korean War. That was incredible to me. Here I am. I was all of about 18, 19 years old. I don't know what this guy is talking about. He is three times my age, and he's thanking me. And I thought, you know, what is wrong with you? And a young student, Korean student, walked up to me and said he was thanking me for the war. And I told him, I'm too young to have done anything about that. And he said, you're an American, aren't you?
When you think about your experience, you're very gung-ho, but would that have changed if you knew that you had the potential to go to war at any moment, that you could be deployed? Would your fundamental calculus have been completely different?
It probably would have. I can speak for what my father told me, who was a captain in the Vietnam War. His own words were that even when the draft was going on, I was already born. He had just got a new house up in San Francisco, was chasing his dreams of success in the civilian world when he was drafted. And he tried to avoid that. But once he was in, again, I think his experience was much like mine. Once he was in, he got accepted to officer candidate school and went to serve in Vietnam. Not only did he serve, he extended his service, which I found incredible. I didn't find this out until I just lost him about 3 weeks ago.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. He informed me that one of his reasons for staying in the military was in his leadership role. First off, getting out of officer candidate school in 1967, being black, was an incredible feat in itself. There was only two blacks in his class, he being one of them. That wasn't his greatest accomplishment. The fact that he went to Vietnam and served was not his greatest accomplishment. His greatest accomplishment was the fact that he served. He was not a West Pointer. He was given commands in the 1st Cavalry, and he never, in 2 years of his command, had to write a letter home saying he lost any soldier to enemy or non-enemy combat, which to him was his greatest accomplishment. So that sense of leadership, that sense of patriotism, all of that comes much later. At least for my experience and my father's. It came later, and it's something that stays with me today. And, yeah, I probably would have had a different attitude about going in, but I was in the military during certain conflicts with Gaddafi and what have you, and I cannot tell you the pride that all of us held knowing that when Uncle Ronnie called us, which we called Ronald Reagan, when he called, we halt, and we made sure we did what was demanded of us. Many times I loaded nuclear weapons and was astonished that they would leave the hangar. And I remember one time asking, you know, one of my commanders asked, do you have a problem with this thing taxiing? I said, I did my best. And the only thing I wish, if I can call my mom, let her know I did my best. Because when you see those things go, you think this is it. But after that, I mean, yes, once you're in, I think the sense of bravery, patriotism, and everything comes about because of your training in the military. But it's something you have to leave this country in order to find out.
Now, Colonel, when you hear this kind of an endorsement for military leadership, can you really provide that in a non-military context? You have a military framework, but this is essentially school. And as you've mentioned, you don't necessarily see it as your goal to get people to serve. Is that kind of a pride going to be instilled if you're dealing in theoreticals, essentially?
Well, of course it is, because the curriculum for our military academies and JRTC is focused on development in their citizenship preparation, leadership skills, organizational skills. We teach them how to do strategic planning. So they actually, the cadets actually run their programs throughout the city. And obviously, the more involved they are, the more excited they are about being involved in that leadership role, the better our programs are. So I think that we are doing an excellent job of providing our young men and women at high school age an opportunity to actually lead in leadership roles, that they develop that confidence and self-esteem, and they develop that focus and that discipline, which are necessary skills to be successful in whatever career that they choose.
Mr. Black, a devil's advocate question.
Yeah.
Is this whole situation with military education, whether it's, you know, in high school or whether it's something that you get once you've served, is this actually a failure of American society to provide other paths to opportunity for young African-American men and women?
Well, I think it is in some respects, because it is true that there are not as many opportunities for African-American, particularly males, as there are for other groups of people. But I think that African-Americans have to look for opportunity, particularly young people, where we can find it. And one of the things I can tell you, from the tremendous amount of feedback that we get through the website, there's two things that are very obvious. And the first thing is that African-Americans in general are very patriotic people, And then secondly, they're very proud of what they do as far as the military service. They're very proud of the accomplishments that they achieve. They're very proud of the education that they receive. And as a result of that, they're very proud of what they do as far as, and that's where the patriotism develops. It's the same thing that I experienced that the colonel did. But one of the things I think that we're facing right now is that there is a lot of confusion between military service, the military benefits, education, all the things that the military has to offer, and the war in Iraq. And, as a result of our overwhelming objection to the war in Iraq, I think we as a people are beginning to overlook a lot of the things that the military brings that have been very positive for us as a people over the last couple of decades.
Just want to get Jarvis in here. Final question. Would you recommend this to your nephew, your cousin, your friend who might be 18?
Yes, I would, dependent on what their focus was. There are some individuals that are just extremely focused and have a path that they're going to go down. Other people need discipline. I was one of those. I was a little lost. I could pass any test you wanted, but the military does serve an important purpose as far as discipline, breeding leaders. I would not be the leader I am today if it wasn't for the military.
All right. Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you all so much.
Thank you, Fry.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We've been talking to Jarvis Reeves, who joined the Air Force out of high school. He now works in the mortgage industry and joined me here in our NPR West studios, also talking to Colonel Rick Mills, the military area officer for Chicago's Military Academies and Junior ROTC program. And he spoke with us from NPR Chicago Bureau, plus retired Navy diving officer Gregory Black, who runs blackmilitaryworld.com, an online source for news and information about African Americans and the military. And he spoke with us from NPR's Washington, D.C. headquarters. Next on News and Notes, a peek inside Oprah's fundraising gala for Obama and getting more black folks into a rarefied world, classical music performance.